Humanity LLC versus Applied Underwriters Captive Risk Assurance. Mr. Pappick, good morning to you. Let's give everybody a second to get in and out of the courtroom.
Oops. Thank you.
And you may proceed.
May it please the court, counsel, my name is Jonathan Pappick. I'm here today on behalf of the appellants, Citizens of Humanity LLC and CM Laundry LLC. Appellants brought this action because the appellee commenced an arbitration against them, and it is appellant's position that there is no enforceable agreement to arbitrate. There is an agreement that the parties reached that contained an arbitration provision, but it is our position that under this court's precedence in Kramer and Spieth, any such arbitration provisions are unenforceable. I'd like to talk about Kramer and Spieth in a moment, but first I'd like to draw your attention to a recent decision by the California Court of Appeal in which they relied on Kramer and Spieth and held that the very same arbitration provision that appellee relied on in this case is unenforceable under Nebraska law. That case has been designated for publication. It was decided in the last 2 weeks. The only citation available now is a Westlaw citation, which is 2017 WL 562-3555. As for Kramer and Spieth, in those cases, this court held that arbitration agreements that concern or relate to an insurance policy are unenforceable under Nebraska law. And perhaps more importantly, any such agreements remain in effect, or any such agreements remain unenforceable, notwithstanding the Federal Arbitration Act. And the basis for that holding...
But, and what else did each of those opinions do?
Each of those opinions found that the arbitration, that Nebraska law was preempted by some statute other than the FAA. But they did hold...
So the path was starting at the FAA.
Correct. Well,
You jump out of that lane and you go to McCarran-Ferguson, and then you flow down to the Nebraska statute, and then you look around and see if there's something else that would supersede all of that.
I would dispute that characterization of the process just slightly. I think the first question you have to ask is whose law applies. And
right.
So the first question that was asked in Kramer and Spieth is it the FAA or is it Nebraska law? And they started with that question and at first determined the FAA doesn't preempt, so Nebraska law will govern as long as there isn't some other federal statute that would preempt it. And what we don't have here, that we did have in Kramer and Spieth, was some other federal statute with preemptive force. The only statute that the appellee has to rely on here is the Federal Arbitration Act, and Kramer and Spieth are clear on that the Federal Arbitration Act is reverse preempted through Nebraska statute section 25-2602.
It's reverse preempted because of the McCarran-Ferguson.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So.
Correct.
You got to figure out, you know, this is celebrity death match, which statutes are on board and which one's going to be alive at the end.
Right. I agree with that. And I agree, and I would say, Justice Miller-Lerman, that that's where the district court got it wrong. The district court assumed at the very outset that the FAA must apply and didn't even consider Spieth, didn't consider Kramer, didn't consider section 25-2602.01F4. And it's our position that that is where you must start.
Are the policies or the contracts in dispute here different than the contracts in Spieth or Kramer? And does that make a difference?
There's certainly some difference. They're not the same policy. But to the extent you're referring to appellee's position that these contracts do not concern or relate to insurance, I would dispute that.
Well, what are they saying in this lawsuit? They are or are not insurance today?
My adversary is contending that that the agreements at issue here do not concern or relate to insurance. And I don't think that that's a tenable position, Your Honor, for a number of reasons. First, starting with just the title of the agreement at issue, it's called a reinsurance participation agreement. This court has said that the terms concern or relate, when they're used in statute, are to be used broadly. And the legislature could have said arbitration agreements that appear in an insurance policy. They didn't choose to say that. They said concern or relate. And so that is, it's important to remember that that's the question before you. Does this, through the arbitration provisions at issue, concern or relate to insurance? It's titled.
Is there an exception for reinsurance?
There is an exception for agreements between insurance companies. And this is not an agreement between insurance companies. The statute does go on to say agreements between insurance companies, including a reinsurance contract. But there's no dispute here that Citizens of Humanity LLC and CM Laundry LLC are not insurance companies.
But are they participating in a reinsurance agreement, and what do we make of that?
They are, if you look at the context of the entire transaction, what Citizens of Humanity and CM Laundry LLC are doing is they are procuring a workers' compensation insurance through related transactions.
Are they becoming the insurer, in essence, by virtue of the agreement?
They are not becoming the insurer.
Are they participating in the risk of the insurer?
They are participating in a loss-sensitive work comp insurance program. And what that means is they're getting the policy from a captive affiliate of the appellee. And what this contract does is this makes the premiums or the cost of that coverage depend on the number of claims. So if they have a lot of claims, they'll have to pay more. If they have few claims, it's theoretically possible they could get money back. But what's clear is the entire arrangement is that of they are receiving work comp insurance, and that this contract concerns or relates to that work comp insurance.
Okay, what did the binder say?
I don't know that I can
Did the binder say, for example, please issue these insurance policies subject to our signing up to the RPA?
Yeah, it's clear from the record that it was a condition of entering into the insurance policies that Citizens also enter into the RPA. Also, I'd like to point your attention to...
But that's that. Whether or not it's a condition, or dare I say tied, is not the subject matter of this lawsuit.
It is, to the extent that it's the question that is presented to you is whether the arbitration agreements concern or relate to an insurance policy. And if you read the...
If we're applying Nebraska F4.
Correct.
So is this correct that the appellee's argument is critical to the appellee's argument to characterize this whole matter as under the FAA?
I think that's absolutely right. I don't think there's any other way for the appellee.
Because in that instance, they could invoke the rent-a-center principle.
Sure.
Is that right?
Sure.
Has the rent-a-center principle been applied to other federal statutes?
I'm not aware of the rent-a-center principle being applied to other federal statutes. I'd also say about the rent-a-center principle, rent-a-center presupposes that the FAA applies. And I don't think that you can do that in this case because that's the very question that's presented to you. If you would send this case to arbitration under the delegation clause, under the assumption that the FAA applies, you would be asking the arbitrator to decide something that you've already presupposed, that being that the FAA governs. I'd like to make one other point related to the nature of the transaction, specifically the third whereas clause of the RPA. It says, whereas the participant desires the company to establish a segregated protected cell whereby the participant may share in the underwriting results of the workers' compensation policies of insurance issued for the benefit of the participant by the issuing insurers. I think that language explains the nature of the transaction, and when read in context with the rest of the RPA, makes clear that at a minimum, these agreements concern or relate to an insurance policy. If I could, I'd like to reserve the balance.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, I'm Dave Black. I'd like to introduce Mr. Spencer Cook, who's been an event at Crawford Beachy and been handling the argument on behalf of Applebee's.
Thank you, Mr. Black. And good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Pardon me for a moment.
May it please the Court, my name is Spencer Cook. I'm here on behalf of Applied Underwriters Captive Risk Assurance Company, Inc., which I will refer to as APRA for short. The principal question here is whether or not subprovision F4 of Section 25.602.01 somehow bars the enforcement of the delegation provision. I believe the District Court correctly concluded and answered that question in the negative when it determined that that ground was not a ground based in law or equity that allowed for the revocation of any contract. Therefore, under the FAA, Section 2 of the FAA, delegation provision had to be enforced. Now, I know counsel likes to focus upon the Nebraska Uniform Arbitration Act, specifically that subprovision I'll refer to as avoiding subprovision. And if we were to go further through that analysis, we would also conclude and submit that that provision doesn't apply in the first instance. Why? Well, there are a number of reasons. First of all, this is a California, well, if you were to look at the transaction, particularly the workers' contract transaction in particular, it's a California transaction. A California customer, citizens, obtained a California workers' comp policy from a California insurer, California Insurance Company, which is not party to this appeal, covering its California and New York employees. That is, those are the workers' comp contracts. That is the insurance contract, the insurance transaction. Here we have the RPA, the reinsurance participation, and its delegation provision. And that is an agreement that allows citizens to share in the underwriting profits that might remain through that insurance transaction. And that itself is a separate transaction. It is, as Your Honor had mentioned earlier, it is an agreement that citizens agrees to enter into if they want to be part of this program. And then thereafter, they get their policy.
If they want to be part of this program or if they want to merely buy the policy?
To be part of this program. There are other ways to get policies from California Insurance Company, but if they want to be part of this particular law-sensitive program, there are two agreements that they would get into. Insurance
would get into, must get into.
Correct. You must enter this
program. Is
that
what the binder says? The binder says you can have this policy subject to you getting into the RPA.
If you want to be part of this law-sensitive program, that's correct.
Okay.
And why do I mention that this is a California transaction in terms of the insurance? Well, that's critical because there isn't any logical reason necessarily to apply the Nebraska Uniform Arbitration Act to that insurance dispute. Because we are talking about, and it's critical that we're talking about the insurance aspect because subdivision that we're talking about, insurance arbitrations, that is really a California dispute. Now, the way counsel would like you to get there is he relies upon Nebraska choice of law provision in the RPA. Well, as this court has held on many occasions, the contract has to be construed in its totality and reasonably construed to give effect to all of its terms. Here, the RPA clearly sets forth an agreement to arbitrate. It's not ambiguous. And we would submit that it's not a reasonable construction of the RPA and the choice of law provision. We say, on the one hand, this agreement gives you, expressly sets forth an agreement to arbitrate, but on the other hand, voids that same agreement through a general choice of law provision that makes no mention of arbitration, makes no mention of the voiding sub-provision. Instead, the reasonable construction of that RPA and the choice of law is to construe that choice of law to only govern the substantive rights of the parties. And there is, if not compelling, there's highly persuasive guidance on this issue in the Mastro Bono case. In that case, U.S. Supreme Court was presented with a very similar fact circumstance. There was an arbitration agreement, which didn't speak to whether or not arbitrators can impose punitive damages. And it was ambiguous because it didn't say one way or the other. However, it did say that there was an adoption of the NASD rules, which suggested the allowance for that award. But there was also a New York choice of law provision. And under New York law, you couldn't impose punitive damages by an arbitrator.
So there was a conflict.
In that case, there was a conflict and therefore an ambiguity as to whether an arbitrator in the trial,
So are you saying there's a conflict of laws?
I would say that.
So what is the lesson?
The lesson learned there is, as in the U.S. Supreme Court case, first of all, the first lesson is the U.S. Supreme Court has held that a general choice of law provision doesn't simply mean it includes an agreement to apply all the laws of that state. Otherwise, it couldn't have reached that conclusion. Second of all, it echoes what this court has held in the past. You read a contract harmoniously with respect to all of its parts. Here, this case is stronger than Masterbuilt because there's no conflict. Here, there's an expressly stated agreement to arbitrate. So, just because there's a Nebraska choice law provision, as this court has held, since the court of Master Bono has held, we should construe that reasonably. Only apply to govern the substance of the dispute between the parties, and not necessarily also adopt the application of this very technical subprovision that I'm sure no California customer was thinking about when they entered into the program.
What's this technical thing?
Subprovision F4 of Section 25.602.4.
Of Nebraska law?
Of the Nebraska Uniform Arbitration Act.
It's kind of hiding in plain sight, though, isn't it?
We have cases
on it.
I say that only from the perspective of this California transaction, the California transaction.
Yeah, but who drafted the RPA?
The RPA
was drafted by Nebraska counsel.
That's true. And so you may be referring to the principle of construing against the drafter. But that principle only applies when there's an ambiguity. Again, there's not an ambiguity over the agreement to arbitrate. The second point,
What's your view of the opinion in the Second District Division 2 Court of Appeals on November 22nd of the fact that the parties chose Nebraska law?
I don't think that changes the analysis. The fact that there is this choice to choose Nebraska law doesn't necessarily mean that there was also this adoption to apply this particular subprovision of the Uniform Arbitration Act. Again, you have to read the contract harmoniously to give effect to all of its parts.
Let me back up just a little bit and ask you the same question I asked opposing counsel.
Yes, Your Honor.
Is this correct that your desire would be to stay in the FAA and never get out of that lane? And then you could take advantage of the Rent-A-Center principle. Is that a fair comment?
It is fair and both not quite complete because I do believe the Rent-A-Center rule, this argument that you apply the delegation provision, is a matter of contract. And so I think that contractual agreement to delegate to arbitration issues of enforceability of an arbitration agreement is enforceable whether it's the FAA or not.
So where else? Help us out then. So the Rent-A-Center principle, which you seek to invoke, which focuses on the delegation provision, has been applied in what other areas other than FAA?
I apologize. I don't have a list of circumstances in which that's come up. I can only tell you that it's applied when there are challenges that go beyond the delegation provision. That go beyond simply the agreement to delegate to the arbitrary issues of arbitrability. And if I just make this quick point, because we dance around it for a little bit, and that's this. There are three separate agreements here. There is your municipal agreement that governs the profit share. There is the arbitration agreement, which is the agreement to arbitrate disputes of review. And then there's the delegation provision, which is the agreement to arbitrate disputes on the arbitration. They sound a little silly, but that is how the U.S. Supreme Court has articulated how we do this analysis of these various provisions, and they're examined discreetly. They're all separate.
Well, yeah, I think that's consistent with my question, because Rent-A-Center really slices and dices these agreements, and that's why I'm asking if the Rent-A-Center principle that focuses on delegation has been applied to other federal statutes or state statutes. If it's so alluring, I'd like to know why we should import it into McCarran-Ferguson if we get that far.
I apologize. I don't have a list, but I will again say it's a matter of contract. And here, even if you were to consider whether or not the subprovision F4 could apply or somehow adopt it, it wouldn't apply to void the delegation provision. Delegation provision is an agreement to arbitrate issues of arbitrability. Not an agreement to arbitrate disputes over the RPA, which is the larger arbitration, or disputes over the insurance contract. So even if you were to apply subdivision F4, it would not apply to void the delegation provision.
And so let me ask you this: that your position is that that appellants are seeking to void the delegation provision or avoid it in some manner. Is that right?
To be quite accurate, they're seeking to void the entirety of the agreement, and here the entirety of the arbitration is really is focused on their argument that the RPA, their contention is the RPA is somehow an insurance. If you read the RPA, it's not insurance. But when they make
that reinsurance?
That's an answer to a different question. It's how do you know they got delegation on the mind?
How do appellees
know that what appellants are really challenging is the delegation provision?
Well, because their assertion is based on the contention that the arbitration agreement is void because it concerns or relates to insurance. The delegation provision doesn't mention insurance.
So now you know that. Would you say that, say, under Miniland, that's specific enough? You all know they don't like delegation.
And I'm not sure I quite follow, but the point I did want to make is that it really just doesn't void that particular delegation provision. Whether they want to make that argument in the proper form, in the arbitration context, they can. I didn't know if Your Honor wanted me to address the question of...
The Chief calls it.
Chief Justice, my apologies. There was a question about whether or not this is...
You may. Go ahead.
If I may, as a technical matter, the RPA... obviously, it's just not reinsurance standing alone, but it is a participation agreement in that reinsurance. And they are sharing in the risk. And why it's relevant, I think I know why you're asking this question. There is that specific exception to the exception subdivision at 4 of reinsurance contracts. Well, reinsurance contracts are not encompassed as one of those contracts that should be void under subdivision at 4. This participation agreement, which is even one further step removed, should not be included in the in F4's prohibition against arbitration agreements relating to insurance contracts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
1 minute.
1 minute and 15 seconds. Mr. Papik, we'll actually give you 2 minutes.
I'd like to start with the questions that Justice Miller-Lerman was asking about Rent-A-Center and challenges to the delegation provision. And I just want to make one thing quite clear. Our position is that the rent-a-center principle is not one you need to follow because the FAA doesn't apply and this is governed by Nebraska law. But to be clear, to the extent you determine that the rent-a-center principle governs, we are still challenging both the delegation clause and the agreement to arbitrate substantive disputes under the RPA. There's a cite to the Bill of Exceptions in our brief, where at the hearing before the district court on this matter, most of the argument in this case took place in briefing, but in a short oral argument, I made very clear that we were challenging the delegation provision just along with the other arbitration provisions. And the reason for that is the delegation provision arguably gives to the arbitrator the authority to decide whether the arbitration provision is enforceable, and we would say that that therefore relates to insurance just as much as the other arbitration. I'd also like to address the point Mr. Cook made about this being a California dispute, a Nebraska dispute. The appellees, their principal place of business is in Nebraska. This was drafted by their counsel in Nebraska. And it provides that it is to be exclusively governed by Nebraska law. And that has to mean something. This court honors choice of law clauses. He mentioned the Mastro Buono case that I'd like to respond to quickly in my remaining time. And Mastro Buono was presented with a conflict, and what it holds, the conflict is, do we follow this state law that disfavors arbitration or the FAA? And so in that case, what the court said is, well, we have to apply our normal preemption principles, and they concluded that the FAA would preempt. If that same analysis is applied here, it's exactly reverse. Because of the McCarran-Ferguson Act, it is Nebraska law that would reverse preempt the FAA. And for that reason and others, we'd ask that you reverse the district court and direct that they join the arbitration. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That takes us to the next case.